When I was serving a church in Pennsylvania, I received a phone call about 2 weeks before Easter, and it was from a newspaper reporter who was doing a story which I'm sure he hoped would stir up some controversy. You know, newspapers sell based on controversy. And he was looking for a pastor that was willing to go on record for saying that they didn't believe in the resurrection. He was looking for someone that was willing to say they were skeptical about the possibility of someone rising from the dead. And I told him that he had the wrong pastor. I said, I believe in the resurrection. I can't explain exactly. I don't know exactly what happened. But I know something amazing must have happened. The point that was brought home to me is the mystery of this Easter story. What a profound mystery. It is absolutely central to our faith, and yet it is so hard to grasp. What really happened? Did Jesus physically rise from the dead in bodily form? Or was he able, being who he was, to sort of reconstitute a physical body when he needed it? Sort of the Star Trek theory of resurrection. Did his disciples see him in his spiritual body rather than his physical body? Is that why Mary was not allowed to hold on to him? Because there was nothing physical to hold? Or did they see a vision of some sort? And what exactly is a vision anyway? I mean, we know that people have them, and yet, what are they? We who live in the scientific age tend to want logical, scientific explanations for things. We want to know what actually happened historically over 2,000 years ago, and we think that everything can be explained by science, but it can't. It can't. I can't tell you with any certainty. It is one of the great mysteries of life. But I can tell you that something profound took place. Something had to have happened to galvanize those disciples into action. I mean, think about this for a minute. Here they were, a little band of terrified and devastated individuals. They had just watched their beloved teacher and guide and friend be tortured and murdered by the authorities. And they knew that they would be next if they did not keep their mouths shut. Something had to have happened to turn that tiny, terrified group of people into a force that would change the world forever. And it has. I know in my bones that the resurrection took place, even if I can't explain it. Because I know that Christ is alive today. When I was in seminary, I asked my theology professor, what exactly is the difference between what we call the living Christ and the Holy Spirit? And he said that they really are the same thing. That it was called the Holy Spirit prior to God incarnating in the person of Jesus. And that divine force then took human form and lived on earth in the body of Jesus. And that force, that spirit, did not die on the cross when Jesus was crucified. It is alive. And is active in the world today. And those of us who call ourselves Christians identify that mysterious divine spirit with the living Christ. It is the spirit that lives within us and around us, guiding our lives and leading us always closer and closer to God. And as we allow that spirit to blaze within us, it begins to burn away the baser parts of ourselves. We literally begin to die not physically, but psychically, our egos melt away under the heat of that spirit. Much of what we held dear no longer seems to matter. The drive to acquire for ourselves power or prestige or possessions kind of gives way to an impulse to love. Sometimes the fighter in us becomes a little less ferocious, becomes a little more mellow and more gentle. And you know, sometimes we become even more ferocious, but for a different reason. We become more ferocious in the fight for justice. Paul says that we have died and that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. He says that when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then we also will be revealed with him in glory. Let's think about that for a minute. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then we also will be revealed with him in glory. For me, the resurrection is about allowing the Christ within me to be revealed. It is about allowing the more selfish and egoistic parts of myself to give way to the Christ Spirit within me. And it is about trusting that the Spirit is in fact the way of true life. There is a wonderful poem by Juan Ramon Jimenez, and it goes like this. I am not I. I am the one that walks beside me whom I cannot see. The one whom at times I manage to visit. The one whom at times I forget, the one who is calm and silent when I talk, the one who forgives gently when I move into fear or doubt or anger, the one who walks where I cannot go, the one who will remain standing when I die. I am not I. I am the Christ who lives in the center of my soul. And that Christ is very much alive and active in our world. A few years ago, I was serving a smaller church, and of course, I had to preach every Sunday. And one week, as I was preparing for my sermon, I read the assigned scripture, and I wasn't particularly inspired by it, but I went ahead and did the research on it, and I still didn't come up with anything that was very interesting. And so I happened to just pick up this psychology book that I had, that had had for years and never looked at, and it was on family systems. And so I sort of started thumbing through it, and I came upon a story about a family that was facing some challenges and sought help from the author of that book. And the author offered some suggestions for changing their family dynamics, and that proved to be very helpful for this family in the book. Well, the story kind of fit with the scripture for that week. Not really, not very well, but it was the best I had. And so I decided to go ahead and use it. Time was running out, you know. And so I went ahead and wrote the sermon. And I got up that morning and I didn't feel very good about my sermon, you know, but there's a saying in the ministry business, and that is, sometimes you just have to walk the dog. So I knew that this was a dog of a sermon, but you got to just stand up and preach it and walk your dog and, you know, you'll get through it. So right before worship started, this new family walked in that I had never seen before. Now, it was a small church, so I knew everybody. And, you know, I was glad that we had visitors, but I just wish that they had come on a different Sunday when I had a better sermon, you know. So the whole time I was preaching, I had the voice going in my head. Does anyone else have that voice? the inner critic that's, you know, criticizing everything you're doing as you're doing it. Well, I had that critic going, and it was, you know, saying, oh, my gosh, you know, just commenting on everything I was saying. This is such a bad sermon. You know, you're not an expert on family systems. Why are you even talking about it? You don't even know what you're talking about it. I wish that this new family could come and hear one of your better sermons, one of the ones that you do, you know. It was going on and on and on. And afterwards, they walked up to me, and the man said to me, you know, I was raised in church, and I have been in worship every Sunday for pretty much my entire life. And that is the best sermon I have ever heard. And I said, okay, wow. And they joined the church and became very involved and were really vital part of that faith community. Now, this is where it gets really interesting, though. As I got to know them in the months ahead, I discovered that the family in that story from that book was exact description of their family and the problems that they were dealing with and the challenges they were facing at that time. I mean, down to the details. It was as if the author of that book had been sitting in their living room for the last 6 months. Seriously. And that particular sermon, that story, helped them tremendously in the challenges their family was facing. So let's think about that. Who was it that arranged for them to come to a church they had never been to before on that particular Sunday when I was preaching that particular sermon? And who wrote that sermon anyway? It wasn't me. I didn't even like it. I mean, it wasn't me. I am not I. I am the one that walks beside me that I cannot see. The one whom at times I manage to visit. The one who at times I forget. The one who is calm and silent when I speak. The one who forgives gently when I move into fear or doubt or anger. The one who walks where I cannot go. The one who will remain standing when I die. Christ is alive and active in our world. Christ is revealed in each one of us every day. Praise be to God.